It's the Steve Fast Show on WJBC. From A is for Alibi to W is for Wasted, Sue Grafton's alphabet series of mysteries and her protagonist, Kinsey Millhone, have helped redefine detective fiction. Now, on Book and Letter 24, the latest Kinsey Millhone mystery is on the shelves and has hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And we are delighted to welcome Sue Grafton to the show. Sue, thanks for being with us this morning.
I appreciate the opportunity.
So what does it feel like to be this close to what we'd presume, or I'm presuming, would be the end of the series?
Well, it is fairly amazing to me. I look back on my jolly self at age, where whatever it was when I started this series, and I can't believe I was so cheeky. You know, I honestly didn't realize this scheme would work. But I think now about boldly claiming the alphabet for myself and for Kinsey Millhone, and it's faintly amusing and faintly horrifying.
Well, let's talk about the title of this one. Just X?
Yes. X, there were many X words in there. There's a company called XLNT, Excellent Courier Service. There's a couple named Zanakis. There is a Zebek, which is a sailing vehicle. And in the end, I could not think of an X word that encompassed the whole. So I thought, well, shoot, I made the rule up. Maybe I can break it just as easily. And I thought I would get some sort of reaction to it, but everybody's going, oh, clever you. So there you have it.
So your dad wrote mystery novels in the 40s. Was that an inspiration for you to do this yourself?
Well, what it helped me with was his talking about writing as a process. He taught me, and here I'm 8 and 10 and 12 years old with no idea whatsoever that I would earn a living as a writer one of these days. But he taught me how to take rejection. He talked about editing. He talked about not being precious about one's work, you know, a willingness to be open to suggestion. And he just taught me the philosophy and humility of working as a writer, which serves me well even to this day.
Was there anything about the form or his style of storytelling that you took in? Did you read those stories when you were young?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love detective fiction, and everybody in my family loved it. We would walk up to the drugstore in evenings, and you could buy used paperbacks for 25 cents. So my mother had one of those revolving drugstore racks where they keep paperbacks, and she would read them and mark them dirty or dull or good. And they let us read anything that we wanted, knowing that after a while we would understand that the dirty books were really kind of the dull ones. And that shifted us over to the better practitioners.
There were not a lot of female private detectives in fiction before you started writing these books in the early 80s. The detectives were almost, they were almost all guys. Did you have any kind of thought in your head about how making your detective female put you in the shoes of your dad in a way?
Well, it didn't occur to me. I was interested in the form. I love the structure of a detective novel. And in a way, I didn't understand that women weren't writing detective novels and women detectives weren't playing those roles. So I kind of backed into it because, for one thing, when I started this series, I knew nothing about criminal law or private eye procedure or police procedure. The only thing I knew was how to be female. So I thought, shoot, I'm going to play the part myself. So I projected myself into the character and the personality of Kinsey Millhone. And that gave me just enough courage to step forward into what is really a very exotic kind of writing.
We're talking with Sue Grafton. The latest book in her Kinsey Millhone series is X. So how difficult is it to think up ways to kill people and reasons to kill them?
Well, actually, that's fairly easy if you've been doing it as long as I have. The tricky part is motive, finding a reason to kill, which is a serious, serious proposition. This is not something even killers undertake lightly. But usually motivation is fairly obvious. It's money or rage or revenge or jealousy. And the trick here is to separate the crime from the motivation so that the police don't walk onto the scene and know immediately who done it. So that takes up as much time as just about anything in setting up these stories.
Do you have a favorite death that you have concocted?
Yeah. Well, yes, there was one. I think this was in Ennis for News. I found in a book about homicide ways that people would kill themselves by putting their heads through a fork in a branches of a tree and weighting themselves down with rocks. That was not a murder method. But it was used as one. And that sort of interested me. It was just so peculiar.
Well, this latest book includes a serial killer who Kinsey is tracking. And in turn, she's a target of this killer. And
eventually.
Right,
ordinarily,
right.
I would not write about serial killers. I don't think that's a very interesting line of pursuit. But in this case, a private detective friend of hers has sniffed this guy out and has left information for her that she discovers after he dies. And she pursues it in part to understand this private detective who she's had not a lot of respect for. So it comes about sort of in an inadvertent way. And little by little, she realizes that this guy is very, very dangerous. And sure enough, he comes after her at the end. And that part of the story is left unresolved. So I will pick it up in Why and see where we go from there.
Well, this character, the method of his knocking people off, which makes him hard to catch, is something that you went back into history, I guess, to either learn about this or the inspiration is similar to some infamous killers.
It's called birking, right? It came about because there were these two fellows in England who were killing people in order to provide bodies for a doctor who was doing autopsies. And what they would do is inebriate their victim, and then you could put a hand over their mouth and nose and just squeeze and just hold them down until they died. And it leaves, apparently, see, I hate to give information like this on the telephone. It leaves very little evidence, and that's what makes it so treacherous. But I have to be careful about it, that I'm not issuing a recipe for bad behavior out in the world.
That's absolutely true. We shouldn't be talking about it on the radio. They need to buy the book if they want to learn about the proper method of doing this.
Exactly.
So the timeline for your series hasn't been concurrent with the passage of time during all the books have come out. You sort of pick up right where the other one left off. In what year do we find Kinsey Millhone in the latest book, X?
This is March of 1989. I sort of backed myself into that because when the books were first published, the first took place in May of 82. It was published in May of 82. That was A is for Alibi. Then B is for Burglar took place in June. C is for Corpse took place in August. And by the time I got to book four, I had already trapped myself in this time warp. And in a way, it has suited me well. You don't see technology, no cell phones, no internet. So Kinsey Millhone has to do her detecting the old-fashioned way, which I think is much more interesting. What you have to keep in mind is that regardless of technology, it is still human intelligence that puts the pieces together. So regardless of how sophisticated we become in our machinery, it still requires someone with some savvy and some experience and knowledge of human nature to realize how the pieces fit.
You say you're carrying at least one storyline from this book into the next one. Will the book that ends up being Letter Z be the last time you write about Kinsey Millhone?
Well, I'm waiting to see. She's a very jealous mistress. I know she would never allow me to write about anyone else. And I'm waiting to see. I don't want to write when the juice is gone. I've seen writers keep trucking on when somebody should really get the shepherd's hook and pull them off the stage. I don't want to write if I don't feel I can deliver a quality narrative, which is really hard work, and I want sympathy and pity for that. I work like a dog and trying to keep the series fresh and trying to shift so that I'm not writing the same book twice. So if I can do that past the age of 80, I will be a walking miracle in itself.
Well, I wonder, you do have an opportunity once you're out of the bounds of the series. it might be interesting to catch up with Kinsey in the present day, so to speak. You know, you're going to end this series in the early 90s, yeah, but you've got decades to work with.
I know. Somebody's mentioned that, but please remember, in this day and age, by the time I get to the end, she'll be 69 years old. Henry will be dead. All the characters we've come to love will be gone to the great reward. And she'll be sitting around waiting for Social Security checks, which is not that exciting, trust me. So, I may have to keep her where she is in her prime and going after the bad guys, as she has always done.
Keeping her in her prime and maintaining really the life of this character. You said you aren't going to sell this character or these books to be adapted for Hollywood.
Correct. Well, I worked in Hollywood for 15 years, and I've seen what they can do to a writer's work. Sometimes they pull it off. Sometimes there is that magic combination of work, writer, character, producer, actor, and it comes together. But by and large, if it succeeds, they take credit. If it fails, they blame the writer, which does not strike me as a good way to do business. Reader, I have pictures Kinsey Malhone in a different way. And the minute that role is cast, half my readers will be frosted with me and the other half will walk away. So I can only lose. I don't need their money, I don't need their advice, and I don't need their help. So I'm better off just sticking to my guns and keeping Kinsey Malhone in the mind of readers.
The latest book is called X, and we've been talking with Sue Grafton, who is well along in the Alphabet series of books, and at least two more to go. Sue, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for talking to us.
I appreciate it. It was fun talking. Good questions.
Thank you. It's the Steve Fast Show on WJBC. Back right after this.